ABC Radio Australia.
A Pacific think tank has cast serious doubt on Guam's proposed missile defence system, saying it won't provide the US territory protection from a major attack in the event of a conflict. Now, the Guam-based Pacific Centre for Island Security made the claim after scrutinising the government's final environmental impact statement into the project. And the centre's director, Robert Underwood, fears the military has overlooked the protection of Guam's citizens in favour of other military projects in the region.
The overblowing claim by Department of Defense officials is that this provides airtight defense from missile attacks. Yet, you know, there's been a lot of criticisms about whether it can actually do that. And those have been widespread and they continue. They're outlined in a U.S. Government Accountability Office report. There are also many reports on this by the Union of Concerned Scientists. But the most revealing part of the overall DoD strategy is while they proclaim that this is designed to defend the homeland of the United States and the people of Guam, they are at the same time planning for divert airfields in Tinian and in Yap and in Palau in order to disperse their assets in case of an attack. It also is important to note that they kept advertising that the conflict between the United States and China over a possible invasion of Taiwan was imminent, that it could happen in this year or next year or the following year, and that this is why this enhanced integrated air missile defense system is so critical to establish now. And then as you read the report, it's going to take 10 years to stand up, even if it goes according to plan.
But you also said that it fails to protect against, you know, a complex saturation attack, which, given what we've seen around the world now in places like Iran and Israel, I feel like the world has a bit of an idea of what that kind of looks like now. So in an event of a major conflict, is that sort of attack a high possibility? And is that the exact type of attack that you would need it to defend against?
If there were a out-and-out conflict between China and the United States and they attacked Guam and the Chinese missiles came in, they would come in at such a rapid speed. And, of course, we're talking about China. We're not talking and their capacity. We're not talking about the kinds of attacks that are endured in Israel or even in the Ukraine. It would simply overwhelm whatever they have here. They could shoot in 300-400 missiles, and a lot of them would be decoys and dummies, and you'd really exhaust your capacity to defend against those pretty quickly, which speaks to the need for divert airfields and the fact that they're going to disperse their assets, because the number one priority of the Department of Defense is not the protection of the people of Guam. It's the protection of their assets and their capacity to retaliate against China in case of conflict.
Well, you did make the observation that need to disperse their assets as they're doing in places like Palau, Yap and Tinian underscore this project's limitations in a lot of ways. Do you worry, though, that the US is choosing to invest in those alternative projects as opposed to, you know, pumping the money into Guam and beefing it up to a point where it shouldn't need to worry?
I think it reveals that no matter how what kind of missile defense system you construct, it's not going to be foolproof. And I think no matter what you and this discussion has been around since the time of discussion of Star Wars in the 1980s. And what it also does is it places false hope in a process of security in which, you know, the competition with China is economic and diplomatic as well as military strategic. And the United States' response is almost entirely military. And the thinking that goes behind it is really defensive in nature rather than forward-looking. So we're in the second island chain, in which, of course, Guam is the cornerstone. But what it does in the broader context is it really puts out of focus diplomatic and economic competition and just humanitarian efforts. So the U.S. positioning in this part of the world is almost entirely in uniform. There's no more humanitarian efforts. There's no diplomatic initiatives. There's not even American business investment. And so as a general understanding of the process, this has not been a good look for the United States. And it's putting all its eggs into a missile defense system, which is untested and which most scientists don't believe is actually feasible.
You also mentioned in your press release that it raised some social concerns in terms of the impact it's going to have on housing and the environment. Can you expand on that a little bit?
It's important to understand that military personnel get anywhere from, you know, $2,500 to $3,000 housing allowance, and they're able to go into the local economy and basically, you know, dry up all the available housing, and local people are not able to compete at that level. And so what is the military response? Oh, we'll provide some housing, on-base housing. We'll work it out in the future. Well, the future is here now. And then the other part of it is that trying to understand what about the personal safety of the people of Guam? Where are the shelters? Even in Israel, where you have a mature Iron Dome, you have shelters. Ukraine, they have shelters. In Taiwan, they're building shelters. In Japan, they're building shelters. In Guam, they're not building shelters.
And that is Robert Underwood, Director of Guam-based Pacific Center for Island Security, speaking with Carl Evans.